Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
Is he behind me, boys and girls?
He's behind you!
Oh, no, he's not!
Oh, yes, he is!
Oh, no, he's not!
Now, we all know what that is, because there is more than just tinsel and turkey. Irish Christmas traditions carry centuries of history and meaning. So, with help from content creator and history buff Jane Casey, you're very welcome, Jane.
Thanks for having me.
Let's take a look at what's behind some of the ones that are really well known, like the Christmas candle in the window, the panto that we heard there, the cork spiced beef that we ended up talking about in our house last night, actually, and the dark-haired man who brings good luck on New Year's Day. Okay. If you have one that we haven't mentioned there that's maybe local to your area, do get in touch at 51551 with that. But first, Jane, tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think some people might think I'm a historian. I'm not really, at least in the academic sense. So I just really love Irish history. I'm the kind of person that, you know, if I'm on the top deck of a bus, I'll see a little plaque on a building going through town and I have to go and look up what it is. So my mates always tell me that I have a fun fact about every square inch of the country.
Great.
And a couple of years ago, I started making little videos on Instagram. That's actually what I do for a living. I do digital advertising, digital marketing. So I thought, do you know what? There's enough stuff on the internet that brings us down, I suppose. So I'd love to make a bit of content that deepens people's appreciation for our country, especially now when, you know, it's not the best, is what we hear in the news. But to get people to look up from their phones and look what's around them, because this country is absolutely packed full of history and heritage. So yeah, I make short little videos and that's what I do.
And you went to your people, you put out a call for Christmas traditions.
Yeah, so I'm from Dublin. Well, actually, I'm from Bray. So I'm from Wicklow, depending on where I am in the country. I say I'm from Bray or from Wicklow or from Dublin. So I think, like, inside the Pale, we have some traditions, but I'm completely ignorant to the more regional traditions because there's so many in Ireland. So what I did was I put a call out and I said, does anyone have any mad Irish Christmas traditions, share them with me, and I wanted to see what would come back. And then I looked into a few of them. I'm actually shocked at how many I didn't realise existed, you know?
And a lot of them go back to Victorian times or even before, pagan times even?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the modern concept of Christmas comes from Victorian times. So Prince Albert was the first person to put up a Christmas tree, for instance.
That was the German connection.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the first to kind of introduce Christmas cards, which then obviously came across the water to us. So the modern view of Christmas is very much shaped by Victorian times, but then there's older traditions that go back even further.
All right, we started with the panto.
Yeah,
the panto. Where did that come from?
The panto, yeah. Oh, stop. My childhood, every year it was the panto. So it actually goes back about 2,000 years to ancient Rome, believe it or not. So around this time of year, actually today is the start of it, was a Roman pagan festival called Saturnalia. And it was 6 days of revelry and on-street theatre, things like that, gift-giving. It's often seen as a precursor to Christmas. And a part of that was also social inversions. So slaves would dine with the rich people, the masters, men would dress up as women. So then fast forward, that's how that whole concept came in. About the 16th century then, it started popping up in Italian theatre, these kind of interpretations of Saturnalia. So men would dress up as women. It would be a lot, there'd often be moral stories, so good versus evil and kind of slapstick comedy. And then, of course, the Victorians picked it up and it became widespread in England and then came over to us. So we still have it this time of year because of the ancient Romans, we think.
Right, sounds a bit like wrestling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What about the lighting? I'll just tell you, one of your fans has been in touch with us. Absolutely love Jane's history account. She's brilliant, says one of our texters. What about the candle in the window then? This is something my mother would always have done. It was an electric candle, of course, by this time, but it goes back a long way.
Yeah, that was a big one for me too growing up. My granny would, you know, instill that in us. So every Christmas Eve, the youngest child had to light a candle and put it in the window. Now, for me, I was always told it was to guide the wise men. People on my Instagram told me that I was completely wrong. It was actually to guide Santi. Apparently it goes back to, I mean, look, we don't know for sure, but there's some theories that it goes back to, again, pagan times, the returning of the light. You know, our ancestors really lived by the agricultural calendar. So this time of year was massive for, you know, the sun was starting to come back. So it signified that. But then when we go to penal times, it actually was meant to signify as well that it was a safe place for priests to hold secret masses. So if you saw a candle in someone's window, you knew that you could go in there and have your Catholic mass. So so it's a lot of layers to that one.
There, we heard, I remember, was it A Child's Christmas in Wales, Dylan Thomas, the rooting around for the Christmas present of finding the mandarin in the sock.
Yeah. I still do. Do you do that? I always put a mandarin. I don't know why, but I do.
And do you know where it came from?
No clue at all. Not, I don't know. It just was. It
luxury
just has
goods.
Become,
yeah, that's gas. So yeah. Again, that wasn't a part of my tradition.
It was
this
a Santi stocking filler.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it would have been 100 years ago, it would have been quite a luxury food item. You know, any sort of exotic fruit. Like nowadays you can buy
them. It was
the
Ferrero Rocher of its time.
Exactly, yeah. To get
with
a mandarin.
With these mandarins, you spoil us, ambassador.
Yeah. And again, it's also to kind of signify gold as well. So when you can't have real gold, what's the next best thing? A mandarin, apparently. So that's very widespread across Ireland, but I'd never done it. Yeah.
Spiced beef, then. That is very specific to Cork, isn't it?
You're pro or anti?
The first time in my life I ever tasted spiced beef was in the canteen here in RTE. It used to be one of the, it used to be a thing that used to go on the menu. Never for Christmas dinner, though.
Gas. I've never had spiced beef. I'm vegetarian, so I don't think I'll get the opportunity. But yeah, so it's actually quite integral to Cork's history. So at one point in history, Cork was the biggest port city in Ireland. So if you can imagine, there's boatloads of spices coming in from the West Indies. So that was being imported, and then beef was being exported out and often had to go on long, long trips around the world. This is like 17th century. So what they do is cure the meat. The sailors would cure the meat, cover it in spices, and then ship it off so it lasted the journey. But that just became kind of a staple then because it lasted so long. So specifically in Cork, just because it was a port city.
I often thought it was because it has a similar kind of, it's similar to a ham really, isn't it? It's kind of even the colour of it and the...
Apparently that's where the corned beef and cabbage tradition came from, that Irish immigrants to New York were looking for ham, but a lot of Jewish butchers obviously didn't handle ham, so they had cured beef instead. So that's how corned beef and cabbage became such a viewed as
such
a traditional Irish dish over
a St. Paddy's Day.
Yeah. The Christmas pudding, another food tradition, stirring it with superstition.
Yeah. Did you ever do this in your family? The three stirs, or the youngest had to give it a stir, or anything like that?
We didn't do Christmas pudding.
No.
No. We did a Christmas cake, all right, but we never did the pudding.
Yeah, my mother-in-law does multiple, and I think they used to stir the pudding there. Brack would have been more, throwing stuff into the brack at Halloween, coins, rings.
Anything
probably,
you have.
Probably find out it's highly toxic in years to come. Yeah. But anyway, I'm not dead yet.
You're not dead yet, you're grand. Well, yeah, the Christmas pudding, much like the mince pie, wasn't as appetising going way back when. Actually, there would be, I think, beef shin thrown in and all sorts of things. So it would be very meat-based. That goes back to medieval times. It's called plum pudding. And then it evolved, obviously, with meat was hard to get. They would just get what was seasonal and throw it in, thank God. But in Ireland, specifically, this tradition emerged of giving it a stir. So a lot of my followers got in touch with kind of variations of it. The youngest person had to give it a stir, or everybody in the house had to give it one single stir, things like that. And again, it's good luck.
Yeah. You see that text in there, the candle in the window in our house was to show that there was a welcome for the Holy Family or anyone needing shelter at Christmas. And I do think that was the idea. It was the room at the end, kind of the leave shelter. And another one here, not a Christmas tradition growing up, this is from another listener, but on New Year's Eve at midnight, my father would always open the back door to let the old year out, then open the front door and let the new in, then close the back door to keep the new year in. Quite complicated.
Yeah, it is quite complicated.
His mother used to do it, and I always do it to keep the tradition going and think of my dad. That's from Derry and Drumcondra.
It's a gorgeous one. I think that's quite a common one, and it's very a Dublin one too, I think, as well as the pots and pans out on the road, which I would do as well.
Straw from the nativity as a connected with money. What's that one?
Yes, and I would like to put this to your listeners because I can't find a definitive answer of why we do this or any sort of specific origin. So your Christmas nativity, would often have straw or hay in it. And many people have said to me, you take out a bit of the straw, you wrap it in a coin, and then you put that in your purse for the whole year, and it'll bring wealth. Now, I can't find any kind of historical data on why that is or where it came from. I'd love to know if anyone has any insight.
Okay. Well, they can throw it into us, 0870 32 32 32, but that's where we have to leave it. Jane, thanks very much for coming
thanks
in.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you again. We're back with the weather.